All right. Dads, happy Father's Day to all the dads who are here. Yeah. I always know it's Father's Day when this tie jumps out at me in my closet. Ah, it must be Father's Day. It's, I think, 30 years now ago that my little girl, Bethany, I took the kids to Kmart when Peoria used to have a Kmart, and we went in because Daddy had to get a tie. And I was trying to find the tie section, and suddenly I hear this little voice, a little four-year-old voice, "Daddy, Daddy, I found a tie for you." And she had this tight in her fist and was waving it. And I said, "Honey, that's beautiful." My goodness, I love that tie. And so that's been it ever since. So 30 years now, it's got one safety pin in it, keeping it going. But it always makes me just, you know, it reminds me of the joy of a child's heart and the responsibility of a father to receive that heart and care for that heart and nurture that heart and help that heart grow up. And what an awesome, awesome responsibility. And I don't know, just the honor that God gives to ask us to do that. So, and I know that, you know, for dads, sometimes it can be hard. We don't show typically or express our feelings as easily as moms might. But it's all in there, you guys. It's all in there, the love and the care. I know a generation before me, a lot of those men, they never expressed emotion, or they did it by providing. They did it by working hard, and this is my way of showing love. And a lot of people didn't get that. We didn't understand. And now I feel like it's still typically that way, but men have discovered that it's okay to feel, because we have those feelings. We just didn't know how to let them out and to be able to express those things and tell our children that we love them and even cry in front of them and even tell them that we're sorry when we blow it. And we do blow it. And it's very humbling to go to your children and say, "Hey, Dad was wrong. And please forgive me." But it's what we do. And I want to pray for God to bless the men of our church as fathers. And those who don't have children, there is a spiritual father role that you play. God wants to use that. God wants to use that spiritual fathering in those who don't have biological children to be that presence, that presence of security and acceptance and love and guidance for all the children that are a part of us. So, Father, you are our Father, and we thank you for the privilege of caring for the little ones. As dads, we blow it a lot, but our intent is there, and our love is there, and we pray for your Holy Spirit guidance to give us wisdom, to give us grace, to give us understanding, to give us patience, kindness, and help us to be joyful dads. Help us to be loving dads. Help us to be able to express our feelings and bless our children as we care for them. And Lord, we just pray over our church that you would bless our church community with spiritual fathers in all the men who are here, men who will be loving and kind and protective and safe, and willing to sacrifice for the sake of the family as a whole here in the church and for our individual family. Thank you, Lord, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 My goodness, it's good to be a dad most of the time. Sometimes when I get overwhelmed, it's just because I feel like I'm not doing it right, you know, or it's just like, "Oh man, Lord, I don't, I need help. And those are hard times, but it's always good. It's always good. It's my joy. All right. So what we're going to do here? Last week we had the message, which was focused on the mission that Jesus sent his disciples out to do. And I just felt the next section is about what it's going to cost us, okay? And that's the rest of chapter 10. Well, I just couldn't quite go into that yet, because I just felt like when you come to church and we're all here together and you hear a message, and then by lunch you're not even sure what was it about, what did you talk on today? I'm not even sure by lunchtime, what was it that talked on today. Hey, buddy, what you doing? There he goes. It's okay, Marina. He wants to hang out with me today. Oh, no. Okay. Mom says no. All right. He just wanted to make an appearance. Yeah. All right, Wyatt. So what I was thinking was that I really feel like I need to go back and I need to talk again about, oh, I wish everyone was like that, kicking and screaming when they drag you out. I need to go back and focus on the mission of what the mission of the church, the mission, because the mission of the church is the mission of our lives. It's the mission of God over all of creation, and it's the biggest thing happening in the universe. It's what it is. I mean, this, we are all in an existence that is all about the mission of God. And when Jesus sent out his disciples on their mission, he was sending them out on something that from the very beginnings of time was the heart of God and the intent of God for his creation and his fallen creation. And it's the one thing that our church is to be about. And it's the one thing that our lives are to be about. And we connect here in church, right? All of us connect here in church. And it's like, oh, God brought you here too, Wanda? You too, Barb? Me too. He must want us to do something. And he must want us, Herman, to do it together, Kelsey. And there's something about the mission that he brought us here to do together, right? To fulfill his heart over all eternity and all the universe. This is the mission of God, which is to say, this is the meaning of existence. No exception, no addition. This is the meaning of our existence. And guys, if we don't get this, if we hear a message about it, and the next week, what's it about this week? It's like, wait, stop, everybody stop. I want to freeze in time, all of us, and just say, let's just stay here all week long together until we get this. Like, let's just, right? Well, we can't hear this and then go on to the next subject, because this is the purpose of our existence and the existence of the church and the universe, and it's what makes all things make sense. It's where everything falls together. It's when we understand why we were created, what our purpose is, what the mission is, and how to make ourselves part of that mission. That's when everything else in our lives comes together and it all makes sense. So I want to go back and I want to read that text again, and I want to talk about it to continue to help it soak in to our hearts as to what it is that Jesus is saying, and how we partner with him, and how we get this, and how we own it in our hearts and say, okay, I get it. Like, church isn't just a place I go to once a week because I'm supposed to, or it's a good reminder. It's like, no, it's the place where we gather together to fulfill the mission. It's where we all come together. And Randy, you've got some gifts. And Katrine, you've got some gifts, and Ben, you've got some gifts, and so why don't you bring your gifts, and you guys bring your gifts, and we all get our gifts together, and let's put them all up in the front here and sort them out and say, okay, all right, now how do we manage and organize these gifts for the greatest effectiveness to fulfill the mission that God has put us on? And everybody's in it. Everybody's got gifts, Ashley. Yeah, I know you've got gifts I don't have. You got gifts of patience, gifts of kindness, gifts of all sorts of things. And it's like, help me, Ashley. And you know, and it's like, right, so we've all got all these things, but if we're just coming and sitting and leaving, then we're missing the point. We're missing the point. It's not just understanding the truth of God, it's actually stepping into partnership with Him in fulfilling that truth on the earth. And it's not like this is some, oh, that's a nice mission. Oh, that's the goal. Oh, no. We are talking about eternal destinies hanging in the balance. This mission isn't just a good thing to do. This mission will have an impact and an effect on other people's eternal destiny, their joy. It isn't just about how can we make people better in this life, although it will do that. They will do that. It isn't about that, though. It's about how can we set people up that when the day of judgment comes, which is linked to the proclaiming of the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God and judgment always go together, and it's like, and your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or the door to the wedding feast is closed, and it won't open. This is what's at stake. This is what this is about. The mission is the greatest and most incredible and most adventurous search and rescue mission that has ever taken place in the universe, in all of time. We have an enemy, and that enemy is trying to keep us out and destroy us, to kill, steal, and destroy us and good people who are sitting out there, who are sitting in their living rooms right now, probably 100 yards from here, wondering why life is so hard. They're just right there. Or maybe it's 100 feet over here. Right now, somebody's sitting over there wondering, why is life so hard? Why am I not happy? And here's the answer. And there's no connection. And the mission is to make the connection. Whether that be to do it as the disciples did it and go out from town to town and travel, which is a different, first century Middle Eastern kind of society, and that may not work here, but what does work here? And part of what works here is, well, we probably won't have such luck going to them, but we could bring them here. We could bring them here, and we could talk to them here. If we could invite people and get them to sit inside a church and just listen and meet people who are actually not just talking about the kingdom, but demonstrating the kingdom. Is there something that you need healed today? Let's pray for you for healing, because that's a demonstration of the first fruits of the kingdom. Listen, this is what it's going to be about. Boom. And then living in authenticity, the kingdom lifestyle, and say, wow, my, how they love one another. There's a gravitational pull. There's a gravitational pull in every human heart to be a part of a community of people who love one another. And if we understand our mission and we understand what God's trying to do, then we get the benefit and the blessing of being a part of that community. And listen, Bradley Epworth, it's just one church. We're a pretty good church. I like us. I want to go here. But it's like we're just one, and there's many, and it's like, well, there's nothing special except that we want to get God, right? We want to get God, and we want to get Him, and we want to understand Him. And so, and God has brought us here. So let's look at the mission again and see how that applies to Bradley Epworth and how we can fulfill that together as a team, just like you saw the team of RFK. What if we took everybody and said, okay, Bradley Epworth team, team B, team BE, the B team. No, that doesn't sound right. I don't know, whatever team. And put us all up here and prayed for us this morning. Well, who, right? And it's like, oh, yeah. Because what RFK is doing is going to be awesome, you guys. What they're doing this week, everyone who's a part of it, at the end of the week, is going to say, man, I never expected that God would bless me like this. I was looking at it as, how can I bless these kids? And they're going to come to the end of the week and go, oh man, I think I was the one that received, right? Yeah. And it's beautiful. I remember the first RFK, and we had the welcome home lunch down in the fellowship hall. And I sat in on it, and I listened. And I listened to people, and spontaneously somebody said, hey, I want to just say thanks a lot to Glenn for all the things that... Actually, you started it, I think, Glenn. You said, I want to just say thanks to... And you picked out somebody, how awesome they were doing. And it wasn't Heidi, so you know that wasn't going on there. It was legit, yeah. And you said, you know, and then somebody else said, yeah, and I want to say thanks for so-and-so, and I want to say thanks for the... And they went around, and everybody was affirming each other, and it was like, no one was left out by the end of it. It wasn't planned. It was spontaneous. They all had this week together. They all focused on the kids, and they all started talking about how much that person meant to them for what the things were that they did and how they loved the kids or helped them in a spot. And it was like this amazing picture of community. Like, this is it. This is church. This is community. This is, you know, how we love one another for all the things that we do for and with each other as we fulfill the mission of blessing these kids. And those kids are just a microcosm of the whole world and what's out there. And our call from God to go and to minister and to meet those needs. So let's just look at this again in chapter 10 of Matthew and chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. That was his first priority. And then he said in verse 7, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Freely you have received, so freely give. And then he goes on to describe things that reflect the Sermon on the Mount. Like, why are you worried about where your food's going to come from or what clothes you're going to have? Doesn't God take care of you? And he says to them, don't worry about any of that. Don't take any money with you even or any extra clothing. Just walk and go. God will take care of you. And wherever you go, there will be a place for you to enter and speak peace into that place. And if they're not welcome, they don't welcome you, they don't listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet and move on. And his reason was because it's like, if they're not going to receive what you have, the harvest is full. The harvest is ready. You've got to move on. You can't camp out somewhere. You've got to, if they're not going to receive you, go to someone who will, because you've got to get the message. You've got to get the message. We've got to keep telling it. And of course, we have I guess you would call it the difference between this setting and our setting is that we actually can take time if we need to with some people, if God is showing us to do that, and we generally don't sense that we have to move on. But this was the urgency that he had in his disciples at that time. What we're doing here, you guys, is we are engaging in what matters to God, and I'm going to tell you what matters to God: human suffering. God does not want human beings to suffer. He allows suffering because of what it does for us. But that's because he allows suffering to refine us, because a refined person is going to be free completely from suffering ultimately. The goal of God is to remove suffering in every human being, ultimately. That is why it says in the book of Revelation, when we have a new heaven and a new earth, he said, and now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Now listen to this. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or grieving, or crying, or pain, For the old order of things has passed away. This is God's goal. He wants to remove all those things. Now, in the fallen creation, we have to go through all sorts of stuff, folks, and all sorts of stuff will hurt us. All such sorts of stuff will you know, cause us to suffer and will cause all those things. But ultimately, God wants to remove those things, which is the new kingdom, which is where he wants to get us. So God's ultimate desire is to remove human suffering and restore the life we had in the Garden of Eden. And he wants to do it in the new heaven and the new earth, and he wants to make sure that we're getting people in there. So, you know, it's a good thing. It's like okay, to remove human suffering through healing is one of the things we do. So if Barb had something she needed healed, we want to pray God heal her. And or we become doctors, or we become nurses, or we get involved in healthcare, or we try to make sure that healthcare is available for everybody. You know, all of these things are right because that's what God wants. He wants to remove human suffering, and so we're trying to do all those things, right? We engage in that. We care about that. We see someone who's the Good Samaritan. What was that about? Stopping, you know, what are the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's my neighbor? Well, there was a guy walking, and there was a guy on the road, and he'd been beat up. And it's nothing, there's nothing there except that the guy was suffering, and he had compassion on him, and he took him to a place where he could get, you know, help and paid for it. And Jesus says, that's loving your neighbor. That's it. And it's like, okay, so we are to be engaged in that in every way we possibly can. Stop human suffering wherever we can. That's why when I pray, and I pray for like Israel after October, was it October 7th? And, you know, the suffering that went on there. And I was thinking this morning, I was thinking, what about the dads whose child is still a hostage? Or whose children were killed in that? And it's like, oh, man, what's that do to a dad's heart? But then I'm also thinking of the dads who are in Gaza who are just trying to find food for their children today, you know, and not sure what bomb's going to land where and when. And it's like he's just looking at his little children. I think of dads at our border between Mexico and you know, the United States. And you know, it's like they've left their countries that where they were afraid for their children's existence, for their children aren't going to have health care. Their children are going to be taken away by, you know, the drug lords, or, you know, and they don't have anything, and they're at the border, right? And I'm thinking about those dads today and thinking, what about their hearts? Where would I be? You know, where would I be as a dad if my children had no future, no health care, and there was no hope? I'd be at the border. And it's like, okay, you know, like I understand all the, I don't understand all the politics of it. I honestly don't, and I don't want to. But I want to understand is the human heart is that's there, that's in need. Okay, that God sees. And it's like, what about that? What are those dads praying this morning, and what are they hoping for? Now I know there's got to be rules, there's got to be limits, there's got to be all the things that have to be in place. I understand that, sort of. But I also understand the heart of a father, and I know where I would be if I were one of them. So engaging in the relief of human suffering is what God wants us to do. The Good Samaritan is a perfect example of that. That's what he does. Jesus came and healed people, but he healed people knowing that those people would get sick again, and something, at some point, no matter how much faith or how much power you have, everybody's going to die. Okay, the machine's going to stop. But what God's saying is that, but I don't want that. I want them to be healed. I want them to live. I want them to live forever. I want them to live in glory. I want them to live in joy. I want them to... Do you realize how much God wants for you? How much God wants for us? That the mission isn't just... the mission is to get all of you, everybody in this room, God's mission... For everyone here, Matthias, is that you and the rest of us, Cindy Ann and Randy, well, that we get the gallbladder out and get the stones out, right? But forever, that it doesn't come back. That he wants us to live in the fullness of joy and contentment. He wants us to feel perfect joy, like perfect joy, not joy that's being diminished in any way whatsoever. Perfect peace, not being diminished. That's his mission for the people on the, and that's what we're joining him with. We're joining in with him to see that happen, that no matter what you've gone through in this life, that there's going to be a time when you come into a new kingdom, a new heaven, and a new earth, and he'll wipe the tears, the mental, emotional, and spiritual, and physical pains, and they will be no more forever. This is good news. This is our God. This is the mission. And he's inviting us and he's asking us, join me. Like, join me when you see someone on the road, but also ask yourself, but what will be the eternal? Right? What's eternal here? Like, right away, right now, immediately, to minister to those who are hurt and suffering and hurting. Because that's the heart of God. To stop that right now. But never to just stay there, because that's the short-sighted view of what humanity is before God. And God's long-term view is, but get them in the kingdom. Get them in the kingdom. Get them in the kingdom. You know, it'd be better for you to cut off your arm and poke out your eye. If that means that's what's going to get you in the kingdom, do it. Of course, it's not. That's, you know, it's not going to help you. But Jesus was exaggerating to make a point. There's nothing worth losing the kingdom over. Nothing. And it's like, you've got to, and that's the mission that we're on, to get people in there. Okay. Everything, you know, everything that we see that we do on the earth to relieve human suffering through injustice, that's huge, right? Because it isn't just healing that needs to be happened, but we need to heal the injustices that have happened to human beings. I don't know how much you guys know about the holiday that's coming up called Juneteenth. Whenever the government makes a new holiday, I always go back to Pulaski Day. I think, what was that about, right? I know, there was some guy named Count Pulaski, and Illinois gets the day off, and it's like, cool. Who was he? I don't know. Doesn't matter. We get a day off. But Juneteenth is really significant, because Juneteenth is really the marking of the end of 246 years of slavery in the United States of America. It's a little bit complicated because, you know, when Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, that didn't stop the Civil War, obviously. The Civil War kept going. So he said, you know, slaves are free, but it's like, says who? Right? And so it kept going. And then when it stopped in 1865, when the war ended, that did not end the treatment of African Americans in the South, or, you know, in the Confederate States. To a large degree, there was not freedom. And a couple months after that, the end of the Civil War, they had to send 2,000 federal troops down to Galveston, Texas, to tell the African Americans, the slaves, that they were free, and to tell the slave owners, you don't own them. And that it happened on June 19th. And that's the celebration of Juneteenth, when the troops came down to Texas, to Galveston, and said, you have to let them go. You cannot. You don't own these people. Can you imagine? Like, we own these people, and we can beat them anytime we want without recourse. We can take their children and sell them to somebody else to make some money. We can divide husbands from wives. You know, that's slavery. That's the institution. That's what was going on. And they've treated people. I mean, there's rules now that you can't treat your dog or you'll go to jail in the way that people are treating slaves. And you know, to think that this is 246 years is generation after generation after generation of families being separated to be sold and done with. And you can flog somebody for looking at you wrong. You can lynch somebody for looking at you wrong. And on June 19th, the federal troops came into Galveston. They told everyone, this is the law of the land now. And the 13th Amendment was signed later that year. Or was passed. But that's a significant thing, right? It's not just like, oh, it's just another holiday. No, it's a thing. There's no other day that marks the end of slavery. There's no other day that marks the end of the Civil War. There's no other day that marks this. This is the day that marks it and causes us to have to stop and reflect and say, we really did that. We as a nation really allowed that, and we did that to other human beings. And then to recognize that after the federal troops left Galveston, things went back to being, you know, very brutal and very difficult. We all know American history after that, the Jim Crow laws and everything else that maintained a two-class system, separate but equal, that even the Supreme Court passed and agreed upon, all of which was to make a differentiation between black and white in America. So anyway, I'm saying that because it's coming up this week, and I think that as Christians, we need to be engaged in social justice. I think we need to be engaged in making a difference for people who are suffering. We need to be engaged in all those things because that's the heart of God. That is the heart of God. I came to set the captives free. I came to, you know, bring liberty to those who are oppressed. And in the Old Testament, read it, and look at how much God is angry at Israel for the way they treat the poor and the oppressed. And understand that his heart has not changed. And so as Christians, we have to engage in those things. We have to admit those things. We've got to say those things and not brush them off. But the mission that God is inviting us into is to bring people to a place where every injustice will be redressed, every injustice will be met, every injustice will be compensated for. Everything, like this is good to work because this is the heart of God, and we have to work for this here and now. But there's something bigger than this going on. The mission of God for us on planet Earth is to get people free forever. To get them free forever. Come on. This is very short. If I could stretch a timeline from that wall to this wall about our lives and our existence, what we do here on Earth is as thick as this little string right here. And, you know, everything else, but then the window breaks and it just keeps going. I mean, what we're doing here, folks, we have to engage in the things of God because it's God's heart. We have to demonstrate the power of the Spirit. We have to preach the kingdom that's coming. We have to preach that the kingdom's coming and judgment comes with that kingdom, and some will be in and some will be out. And you want to be in because that's where God takes care of every injustice. He heals every wound. He heals every emotional wound. He does all of these. We want peace for the nations, right? I want to see peace. I want to see peace. I want to see Ukraine left alone. I want to see them be able to live their lives and rebuild their houses. I pray for that all the time. Okay, but ultimately, there will never be a peace that lasts except peace that Jesus gives, because I don't give peace like the world gives. And Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we are now at peace with God, we have been justified. That's true peace. I want peace for the nations, but I've got a bigger thing, and I'll work for that. I'll pray for that. I'll contend for that however I can. But I've got this other thing that God is saying, but there's a big mission out here, Tom. Don't forget that, you know, people who get healed can still go to hell. People who get, you know, justice, you know, accounted for still can go to hell. You know, I don't want anyone suffering. We've got to hit the big mission, right? Does this make sense? Is this, you know, resonating anywhere out there? Say amen, but not ahead. Okay. Because look, you guys, I don't want to just get together once a week. I want to find out what your gifts are and your talents and what mine are and put them together for the sake of a mission that's bigger than all of us, bigger than everything else we can do. Yes, I'm going to stop and help someone if they need help. Yes, I'm going to do all that I can to pray for healing and do everything I can to get everybody all that they can possibly get, because that is my Father's heart. And I'm attached to him. I am attached to my Father. I'm attached to him, and I want to be like him, and I want people to be able to see him in me. And I want them to know this is how the Father feels. I don't want you to hurt. What can I do right now? But I don't want you to hurt for eternity. If I had to exchange hurt now and be saved, yes, go ahead and hurt now if that's what's going to save you. Because that's all in the end we're going to care about on that day. On that day, that's all it is. Everything else is like a dream that's starting to fade in our memory already. You know how a dream is when you wake up and it's real brilliant and it's so, you know, and it's like, but after a while, it's like, yeah, I can't remember all that much. And I, you know, just like this life and all that we're doing here is going to fade. And there's going to be this one reality that's going to be beautiful and it's going to be glorious. And that's what he's calling us to. And he wants us to be doing that together. Okay. But here's what we have to do, you guys. We've got to come together. So, you know, how do we get in the mission? We've got to gather together, okay? We've got to gather together. Nothing's going to happen if we all just sit at home. All right, well, no offense, home people. God bless you. I know. And people who are watching this later, I know at least one person who couldn't be here this morning and is going to be watching it later, so bless you. We want that. But we have to gather, and we've got to find out what our gifts are. We've got to organize ourselves, and we've got to say, okay, how are we going to go about this? Ask Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, how do you want us to go about this? What have you uniquely gifted Bradley Epworth with, right? What is here? What like there's like 300 churches in this area, right, in the greater Peoria area, or I don't know, a couple hundred. But it's like, what's this one about? What's this one for? Why is this one here? Why are we here in this place? What are we supposed to be doing in the unique way that all of us bring, right? We each bring something unique, and how do we put that together in a way that says, okay, here's our contribution to the mission. Here's our way of joining in. Here's where we connect, and we do a Bradley Epworth thing. Maybe that's Royal Family Kids. Praise God. Katrine, thank you. Thank you for letting God bring you to the place of releasing that here so that we can join in that. It's like, right? Don't you feel awesome that we can join the mission of RFK? Yes. Right? Well, this is what I'm talking about. There's a big mission going on. It's the mission not, and it's bigger than RFK, even though that's really beautiful. It's the mission of God. It's the mission of God. It's like, aren't you glad that we've been invited to join with that? Yes, 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 yes. This is what we were created for, guys. This is what we were created for. And this is ultimately, it's the only thing that's going to bring us perfect joy. It's the only thing. It's the mission of God from creation to new creation and everything that happens in between and our part in that story. It's the greatest story. And, you know, it's the fellowship of the King. Wait, that has a ring to it. Oh, ring. Oh. David, did you like that? That's okay. That was kind of a David thing. But you know, it's like we have a worse enemy than Sauron. I'll tell you what. Was that the guy? That was the guy. And yeah, okay, thank you, Jim. and it's like, but this is you know why those stories are so attractive to us? Do you know why there are all so many stories are about that? Because there's something about us in the core of our beings that we know that there's actually a true story that's happening, and it's happening right now around us, and we're in it. And when someone writes a fantasy story, and it's got all that, it's got the, you know, the enemy, and it's got the fellowship of the ring, and it's got all the hardships and the things we have to go through, but we do it together, and each one of us has a gift, and we contribute. It's like, that's the echo of a truth that we know in our souls that is the very truth of how God has created this world and is what's happening right now. Only we get to actually be in the story. We get to be in the story. We don't have to watch it in the movies. We are in the story now. We are. And we have a little Bradley Epworth tribe. And that little Bradley Epworth tribe is given responsibility and giftings and anointings to do something in a certain way that's going to reach certain people, whether it's here or in Estonia or Peru or wherever it may be, reach people for Jesus. And bring them into full healing, full, you know, injustices being taken care of, everything, peace, everything that every human being longs for, it's there. It's there, you guys, and we can get people to it. If we take this seriously and buy in, we've got to buy in, okay? As a church, every one of us is individuals. And if you're a guest here today and you're in another church, this is, you know, apply that to where you are. But it's like we've got to buy in. We've got to say, okay, What's my role? What do I do for the team? What do I do for our, you know, joining into to this mission? What place am I playing in the church? Like, what am I bringing? Right? We got to shift. We got to shift from consumer to investor. Like, we're not consumers. Like, oh, what is the, you know, what, I come to church for this, or I come for church for that, or I had come to get this. It's like, no, I'm an investor. I'm investing in this church, this community. It's not because it's the church, it's me. It's nothing like that. It's like, this is God's mission, you guys. I can't apologize for asking you to be committed, to asking you to step in, to asking you to do something that would even cost you. That would cost you time, that would cost you money, that would cost you, you know, mental space, emotional space, whatever it is. Give it. Give it. Give it to the mission. Give it to what God is asking us to do. And if this is your Jesus community, then invest. Be there. You know, decide that this, like Kelsey did, like, we should do something for the neighborhood kids that are here by the billions, not literally, but yeah, I know, right? That come out, you know, of the woodwork on Halloween, and they're all over, and it's like, can't we do something to make some kind of impact and to intercept their you know, their process and bring them, you know, into contact with the fellowship? And Kelsey says, yes, we can do that. And she does, you know, the, what do you call that? Trunk or treat. I was going to say light the night. That was past. But it's like, yes, we can do that. And then get the different gifts and graces together. There's just so much. Encounter God Saturdays. I can go on and on. In fact, you know what I'm going to do real quick? No, I'll save that for another time. No, I'll give it to you. Okay, well, it's going to take time. But this is our the church council met, and they went through some things. I'm going to just pass those down the row. If you get Matthias, tell you what, help me out here, buddy. All right, and you can start passing those out to the row. Okay, there's only about 50 of them, so there might not be enough for everybody. So those of you who sat in the back today, oh well. No, I'm just kidding. Now that we are no longer associated with a denomination, we are an independent church, we are non-denominational, and so we met together as a church council for about 4 hours on May 25th, and we, if you can share that with somebody, go ahead and do that, and we had a session in which we defined who is Bradley Epworth and Bradley Epworth values. What I want you to do is I want you to read that, and here's what I want to invite you to do. Fill in the blank on the front page that it says, who is Bradley Epworth, with your own idea of who Bradley Epworth is. Turn the page over and write what you think are Bradley Epworth values. Put your name on it and leave it in the seat. Or take it home and bring it back next week. I want everybody to be able to have a voice in this, because it was wonderful to see the things that people said. And you can see on there, I had to add some people's names by writing them in. I don't know if they were late, what they were doing, but, and I don't want to point them out, but it was, you know, pretty, it was Chad, David, Daryl, and Bethany Figg. happy Father's Day. Okay. All right, so do we have it? Pretty much, Matthias, you're awesome. Oh, two left? Oh, okay. So anyway, we'll put those there. So what I wanted you to see, though, are some of the things that make us who we are and how this mission station is constructed, so that we can understand how do I fit into this mission station, and then we'll pray and ask God to bless us. But this is, you know, who is Bradley Epworth? Some of the things that we were right-sized, meaning we're satisfied with what we are, and we have an advantage to being this size because we can get to know each other easily. And we're like, as somebody once said, I don't know if it was Melinda or you, Sandy, or somebody once said, this is like a big small group. And we want that. I think God, you know, God wants to bring more people, and he's going to be bringing guests in the fall. I don't know what that means. I don't know how many. I don't know what that's about, but I really know that he's going to do that. But it's the right size for us to be able to respond to things and move And we have young families and we're growing. Oh, by the way, we're growing. Just Friday, we grew another child. Tyler and Laura had a baby, Arlo William, and he was born Friday morning. Yeah. So praise God. We're still growing, and that's going to continue. And there's something about that God wants to use and wants to see us organize for the sake of His kingdom. Casual, comfortable, and semi-messy. I love that, semi-messy. These are things that people were just throwing out, ideas, and Kelsey was writing them on the board, and then Leah took them and wrote them all up. Financially stable and blessed, He keeps providing. Amen, He does. He's so faithful, He's so good. We just need to keep stepping out in faith. Collaborates for the kingdom with other churches in the kingdom or in the area, in the city. Neighborhood focused, like who's my neighbor, what's going on right beside us. Honest, I think that means transparent and truth-seeking. A growth mindset personally and as a body. I love that we're all trying to grow personally as well as growing as a church. And the house of prayer, we love prayer, we do prayer, just like we did this morning, just like we're going to do at the end of the service. We're going to invite people up to prayer. It's an essential of who we are. It's the bread we eat here. And a caring community, we raised $25,000 between RFK and three medical emergencies, and that is awesome, you guys. Come on, that's so great. And caring hearts, taking food to people who are in need, and especially when they have new babies, so I'm sure there's something going up for the Hares. Allison will send that out soon. Food pantry is awesome, you guys, and it's just fun, and it's good, and it's just a super cool thing that God has asked us to do, as well as a lot of other things. And on the other side, with Bradley Upward Values, Bible-based, amen, Christ-centered, loving Jesus. One of the things that I recognize about Bradley Upworth, and I want you to know this, is that I see so many people in this church who really love Jesus. That's weird. I mean, no, it's not weird. That's great. It's awesome. What's wrong with you people? No, I don't mean that. So no, seriously, like I see people who just really love Jesus, but they really love the truth about Jesus, and they don't want just to, you know, they really want to know, like, is this Jesus? Is this the real Jesus? Is this what Jesus really wants? And they love Jesus, and they really want to go after it, and they want to grow, and it's like, it's such an exciting and wonderful place to be. It's like, this is so cool in terms of being Christ-centered in acts of service and faith and action. We want to be Jesus. We want to be Jesus to others, and we love Jesus, and it's so nice to be in a community that's like that. And Spirit-filled, yes, fruits of the Spirit. I love that. Fruits of the Spirit came out first, because that's what leads us, right? And we're active in the Spirit. It's among us. The Spirit is doing things all the time. And focusing on the Holy Spirit around us, making room and time for the Lord in meetings, in service, in worship. I hope and pray we'll always do that, because this is His worship service, not ours, and He gets to do what He wants. A wide range of gifts, set-aside worship, free-flowing. That goes back to sometimes semi-messy because, you know, you don't always know what you're doing, and it's hard to manage that, but it's like it's worth it because it's God. And welcoming to children, we sure are. We got a lot of them, and we just welcomed one Friday. But we welcome them not just like children are welcome, like hopefully every church is that way, but they're welcome to be up here. They're welcome to be up here during worship, and they're welcome to do their sword fights with the flags. And you know, it's like, okay, that's not technically, that may not be worship, but you know what? It's okay, because it's like, yeah, but they're having fun, you know, right? Ask a kid, did you have fun in church today? Yeah, I was my flag, and I was massive, you know, right? And it's like, go for it, guys, go for it. Let your memory be that, but always feel comfortable coming up to the front of the church in worship. And seeing the adults around you worshiping God, right? They all can see Carla with her flag. They can see people raising their hands. They can see everything that's taking place around them, and they're welcome to that, and we love it. We love it. We love our kids to be in all that we do. Age diversity, I like that, wisdom and excitement. I think they meant that the old people have wisdom and the young people have excitement. I think that's what that means. Sometimes I think it's the other way around, but okay, whatever. Some of us old people get a little excited, and it's the younger people who have the wisdom. All right, so volunteering, we got tons of that. We're generous. We operate as a family. But sacrificial love, sacrifice God's love and humility. If I could just take those three things and say, God, just give us this. Give us humility. Give us humility. Give us sacrificial love. And give us holiness. If, oh God, please, in all of our lives, we strive for that, right? Strive to be holy. Strive for holiness. Strive for humility. Strive for sacrificial love. That means love that costs us something, right? Love that costs us. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Love one another as I have loved you. Well, how Jesus loved us was he gave his life up for us. And so he's saying, love one another the way I loved you means that we're willing to give up something. We're willing to let it cost us. Love people as they are. I sure hope so. And that's our goal. Boldness, hunger for more of Jesus. I believe that's here. And we have differences, but we don't make them a cause of separation. There are people who believe pretty similarly in this church, but there are people who believe very differently on some things in this church as well. And if we focus on Jesus, we're going to be great. If we get tied into things that are external and on the periphery of Jesus, then we're going to have problems. But we seem to be able to, you know, keep that in a place where Jesus is Christ-centered, right? Bible-based Christ-centered. Christ-centered means he's the reason. He's what we focus on. Oh my gosh. Okay. And one of the things that's wonderful about Brad Lepworth is you don't get mad when the preacher goes over. That's so wonderful about you. I love it. Okay. Andrea, how about if you hop up there for us? It's a little late, so we'll just do an abbreviated version. I want to pray for you guys. Would you stand up, please? I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for what God's doing among us. I thank you for giving me this extra Sunday. Well, you didn't give me it. I took it. But I thank you for listening and engaging in the mission. We've got to get this, guys. We need to say this over and over again. There is a mission taking place in the universe. There's a mission taking place in the heart of God. And he's invited us into that mission. And he's given us gifts and graces to fulfill that mission if we will use our gifts together and put them together. Nobody has all the gifts. We need each other's gifts.